And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You bitches will never understand how good it is to be Australian and say the word no. Like, I'm chewing on those vowels. I'm having a meal. I'm eating. No. Let's go. No, no, no.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, January 22nd, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
And of course, over yonder, the man making the magic happen. He's a super producer. We call him J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. No Trey Kirby today or tomorrow. He is back in Chicago celebrating his dad's retirement, and we send our best to Steve Kirby.
Way to go, Steve.
Steve wore a hat, apparently, for the first time in like 40 years, according to Trey. There was a photo of TK and his dad at the Bulls game over
the
weekend.
I saw that on the Instagrams.
And his dad was in a hat.
Yeah.
And Trey wrote to me, because I liked the photo on Instagram too. I said, great photo, great seats. He said, yeah, my dad was in a hat. I was like, okay. Yeah. Didn't know he didn't wear hats.
Yeah. Retirement Steve wears a hat.
Steve's got a great set of hair.
Yeah.
He really does.
Right?
Yeah.
So I can. Why would you cover that up with a hat?
I would never wear a hat if I had his hair.
Yeah, it's good hair. I've never seen him in a hat either. It's quite the coif.
But yeah, maybe you're right. That's the start of retirement. That's what I said. I said, this guy's retired now. He's like, what's the point? Don't need to worry about this. Cover it up with a cap. Anyway, shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second, hit the like button, make sure you subscribe. We're getting closer to 100,000 subs. There was some talk in the stream team. Is it going to happen before the deadline, right after the deadline, All-Star weekend? I mean, I'd love to see it happen in the next couple of weeks here. 100K, it's in sight, man.
February, for sure.
Yeah.
February is hot.
Let's do it. Let's do it, guys. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe. And podcast listeners, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. You want to talk about the Bills at all?
Nah. That was tough. That's the one game I watch a year. Felt good. Felt like Josh was going to do it.
Oh, my God. They were like gift wrapped that game, and they still couldn't beat them.
Hit the hands a couple times.
Oh, that bomb that Allen threw to Diggs? He should have caught
it. I liked how Tony Romo brought up that one. He should have gone short instead of gone deep.
Yes.
That was a nice call, Tony Romo. You're right. It would have been a short field goal if that guy caught it
but
over
the Chiefs,
middle.
The Chiefs were about to go up 10. The guy like fumbles it away.
Yeah,
through the end zone, so it's a touchback. Again, this is like handed to the Bills.
I'm surprised that didn't
go wide right.
I'm surprised that was a fumble at all. I thought
it was close.
Yeah,
it
looked
very close.
Looked like that butt slash the hand warmer that you wear around your your waist, I guess.
Was touching
the ground, exactly.
Ooh,
it looked like it.
Bang, bang. But anyway, field goal, wide right. Slightly different Monday show here. We are going to do our NBA weekend winners. And later, we're going to get out the buckets and weigh some recent NBA trade rumor slop. Yes, the slop scale returns to your lives.
Wow, trade rumors are hotter than ever in the NBA.
Oh, God, man.
Every month, it's changed.
How do you think we're going to get to 100,000 subs?
We're
going to be slopping it up for weeks.
We get sloppy.
But before all of that, we had a wedgie. And it happened on Friday night. It had been a while since we'd had one. It had been like 8 or 9 days. And it was CJ McCollum sticking a wedgie in New Orleans from the sort of the wing there on the corner. A three-point wedgie. Who's on the call there? It was Daniels, right?
Antonio
Daniels. Yeah, gave a great wedgie. He was very pumped. So number 27 on the season. Yeah, the pace has ticked down a little bit.
That's a pretty good pace, 54.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So
McCollum a wedgie.
McCall
him a wedgie.
Yeah, I thought he had one this season, but he didn't, according to wedgietracker.com. It's actually funny timing. I tweeted over the weekend. I'm like, we haven't had a wedgie in a while. I think we're due for one. And then somebody wrote at me, was like, we had one on Friday night. You missed it, man. I mean, not missed it in the sense of showing you here on the show, but like it had slipped by me on the Twitters. I don't trust the X anymore. I'm convinced people are like tweeting at us to just like disappear. I don't see them. That's right. Weird. The algorithm. I don't know what it is. But anyway.
Or I thought you were saying, you're just giving me the stuff is false out there.
No,
stuff ain't
no,
real.
Fake news.
Misinformation, disinformation.
Fake wedgies.
Because that happens out there.
No, no. I just think it like somehow doesn't see my eyeballs. My eyeballs don't see it.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
Things
but anyway,
have changed
but
on that.
That's why you gotta be hardcore with this. You gotta like tweet at us. You gotta Instagram us. Like, and don't just say wedgie. like good, that's good. But like, come on, at us, you know? Give us the time. Because we're not watching every single game. It's impossible.
Somebody DM'd me. I can't.
Okay, good.
I'm blanking on the name. And they took a screenshot of the score, like the time and the score. It was perfect.
That's what we're looking for.
That's what we
need. That
really
helps everybody out. We're in this together is the point. This is a collective.
But we remember, in years past, every single year, it feels like we do miss one, maybe two, because they happen really quickly.
I know.
And they happen in late in games. So people have to sell. That's why I think CJ McCollum, who is a podcast king, he likes to podcast. He likes to get out there. He should sell the wedgie as well.
Oh, right.
We've done a good job. We've taken it from Ralph Lawler. We've made it popular. We've popularized it. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. People love it out there. Broadcasters, including, love it out there. You heard Antonio Daniels. People say it. I think the next step is players. Players should talk about wedgies a little bit more. Why not?
Yeah. And then when they go back to the locker room, tweet at us.
Exactly.
I had a wedgie. Yeah. Hi, it's me, CJ. I had a wedgie.
It's the only thing we've done, really.
Okay. My point is, like, don't assume somebody else is going to alert us. I'd rather get 100 people saying, wedgie, Pelicans game, from the corner, this is the time. Then have, you just think, the other guy, someone else will do it. Don't do that. Don't do that. But thank you to everybody that did write in for that one. Okay, let's get to weekend winners tasks. We're no negative Nancy here today. We're not doing losers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of winners from the NBA weekend. Why don't you get us started?
Well, we have the two top Western Conference teams battle this weekend. OKC versus Mini. In Mini, ready for a showdown. And it looked like Mini was great. They're up double digits in the fourth quarter. Everything working for them. And then Shai Alexander took over. He had a great fourth quarter. A shot over Rudy Gobert. That man is a giant, and he's great. And then another shot over Karl Anthony Towns. Another 7-footer. That's tough. Then he had one on a fast break. A beautiful and one opportunity. And then to seal it, a minute left, the step back on Jaden McDaniels to get a lot of space on Jaden McDaniels, who's an incredible defender. And he hits the three. Doesn't hit a lot of threes, but when he wants to, he did there to seal it. That was his only three of the game. I love how he doesn't hit a lot of threes. But he had 11-point fourth quarter of his 33 points. And in this showdown, it was probably the Wolves' turnovers that did them in. That's the one thing that they kind of struggle with. They're one of the worst teams turning the ball over in the National Basketball Association. They're third worst, and all their guys had double digits in the starting lineup. Edwards had 5. That's probably why the Thunder were able to outscore the Wolves 28-14 in the fourth quarter. Because everything was good. OKC shot only 39.5%. They scored 20 points under their season average in this one. They got out-rebounded by 13. Second chance points were 16-2 for Minnesota. And all of a sudden, this 60-win projection we talked to, you said, you mentioned on Friday, right? Now it's like 58 or 59. It's gone down.
Dips down.
But anyways, OKC has taken two games out of Minnesota, two of three from Minnesota this season. And I love OKC. OKC is just fun. Post game, their interview, they even have fun. We have the tape there of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander having his post game interview. That's what he does. But everybody was around him. I think we got this, JD. We got just.
We know that
just,
when we're down, we're never out. We have guys that fight 24/7, the whole 48 minutes. And we know we're exactly what to do.
Yes, it's just funny. Everybody takes part.
And how to respond.
Thank you, Shai. Thank you, guys, very much.
Sorry, JD. I didn't tell you. I didn't think we were going sound up on that one. I thought we were just going to play it. Anyways, just a little snub there by me. But what we watched right there was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander doing post-game interview. And everybody taking part. We remember the Miami Heat back in the day. Mm-hmm. Chris Bosh would jump in. Dwayne Wade would jump in. Everybody would jump in. That's what it seems like the OKC Thunder are doing. But it's even different in that Shai gets on the mic and then three people are behind him. It's a group interview. Yeah. Everybody group interviewing. This is the second youngest team in the NBA, although OKC players have the fewest average number of seasons played, so they're kind of the youngest team. I don't know. This team just plays together, baby.
What did you think of Anthony Edwards after the game, a little critical of the officiating and how Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is handled by these officials. He had one of those games where he goes to the line a lot, 12 of 13, and they shot a lot of free throws, and Ant was not a fan. It's hard to do the calls that Shai gets. It's hard to shut him down. You can't touch him at any time of the game, so it's super hard to beat. Again, that was Ant.
Yeah, no. And I think Anthony Edwards was just mad at turning the ball over five times in this game. Just didn't feel like himself out there. That was the bigger problem to me. I just gave you the breakdown of what Shai did in the fourth quarter. It was just hit shot after shot after shot. The last 7 minutes, he was 4 of 6, 11 points. That's what did it in. And plus, just coming back from double digits, that's what OKC does. It's an interesting stat here is that this is the 25th comeback from a double-digit deficit since the start of last season. That's what they do. They come back against teams. So I don't think it was the free throws at all. They're a team that just plays together. They hang together. Chet Holmgren, being that this game was in Minnesota, had his high school jersey retired. The team, the franchise, the organization came with him to that ceremony. So they just love each other.
Yeah. And look, moving forward, I don't like – if Ant feels that way and obviously addresses it to the media about how SGA is called, it can only lead to, you would think, like a bit of a rivalry between these two teams, those two guys who are like two of the youngest superstars in the game. Mm-hmm. In Ant, in SGA. So moving forward, you know, I think SGA maybe did his whole thing where he had a comment on Instagram that was sort of commenting back to Anthony Edwards, but in a cryptic way, he does, you know, in his bars, in his captions. So look, moving forward, it's great. It's great stuff. It was an entertaining game. It's pretty amazing that OKC won it with all those stats that you went through.
But it stunk.
Yeah, I mean, he got to take care of the ball.
Yeah, Minnesota was just great defensively. I'm so glad I missed that on social media. I missed the back and
you
forth.
You missed that? Yeah.
Who cares? Really, it is unfortunate that Ant would say that. I mean, they lost the game. And those stats just show that they should have won the game. The problem is they turn it over a ton. It's surprising that Mike Conley had a bad turnover game because he is awesome.
Really,
he's so good at being their point guard. It's Anthony Edwards. It's Jaden. It's Kat. It's Rudy Gobert. It is quite often that they're so huge that they don't have to. At times, they just take up two-point land, and they turn it over instead of moving it around the three-point line.
All right, my big NBA weekend winner, it's going to the Murrays. I'm going to include my grandpa, Murray Kane, in the mix here. Shout out to grandpa, who sometimes occasionally watches
the
show.
Does he wear a hat?
Yeah, he's out on the farm. Of course you're going to wear a hat. Okay. Probably got a toucan right now. It's so cold at the farm. But yes, the Murrays had a weekend. DeJounte Murray, let's start with him. He made a go-ahead three-pointer with 2 seconds left. His second consecutive game with a winner on the final shot as the Hawks spoiled Udonis Haslem's jersey retirement night by beating the Heat 109-108. If you remember, on Wednesday night, DeJounte hit like a 17-foot jumper. Tough shot, contested shot against the Magic at the buzzer. This one, there was a little time left on the clock, but a huge three, also not an easy shot, to give them the win. And the Hawks picking up two huge wins against teams they're trying to chase down in the Eastern Conference standings. And all of this is going on when DeJounte Murray is like possibly the, you know, big prize acquisition here at the deadline. His name's been in every trade rumor imaginable. He's been traded to like 10 different teams at this point, but 26 points in the win against the Magic, and then he had the 22-11 in the win over the Heat. And this was without Trae Young in that game, who sat because of an illness, returned against the Cavs, and then left the game after taking a charge because his head got clocked, and he is now in the league's concussion protocol. So possibly no Trae Young here for a little bit moving forward, but DeJounte gets a win of the weekend. Who's the other Murray? My grandpa, DeJounte, and Jamal Murray, of course. So we have two Canadian Murrays of the bunch here. Jamal Murray scored 35 points to help hand the Celtics their first home loss of the season. That was a really fun game as well. Tatum had a chance at the end, but sort of settled for a Tatum-like fadeaway. Came up short. But Murray, man, in the fourth quarter, he hit 5 of his 6 first shots in that final frame. And just like when this guy gets going, this guy loves the bright lights. I mean, this guy's built for playoff basketball, these big games between obviously two of the best teams in the league in the Nuggets and Celtics, like a potential finals, obviously rematch. He just loves it. He literally raises his game, I feel like.
Absolutely.
For these big moments and these big matchups. So he was just awesome. Tatum got some. Brown got some. Peyton Pritchard, too small, when he backed him up and hit the fadeaway. So he was cooking earlier in the fourth. And then Jokic, obviously, I know we're going to get to him. He had a great weekend as well. But Murray finished 15 of 22, 8 boards, 5 assists, just 1 turnover in the win and handing the Celtics their first home loss in a very entertaining game.
Way to go, Murray. Yeah. Jamal Murray just thinks the regular season is too regular, I think. he steps up for the postseason. There's no doubt. You look at the numbers. Regular season to postseason, drastically different. So he definitely steps up for this big game. The Nuggets stepped up for that big game.
Yes,
they wanted it really, really badly. And I guess we're not going to see Jamal Murray in the All-Star game, which is strange. Hopefully it happens that he reaches his first All-Star game just because he's on a good team. They won the championship, yeah. So it may be in effect.
He might get selected. He could.
Because obviously Jokic gets there, no question. But who's the second guy on the Nuggets? If there is a second guy, it's tough in the West. It's really tough. Yeah. But yeah, hopefully, as far as the Hawks go, hopefully Trae Young is better. I think he's sitting out tonight with the concussion problems against the Sacramento Kings. But DeJounte Murray's got to hit another one. Hit another game winner. He's hit two in three games. They did end up losing to the Cavs, running them over. But the Heat just gave him lots of space because he was well beyond the three-point line. Mm-hmm. The Heat are great defensively, but they saw him well beyond the three-point line, and so they gave him some space. It's listed as a 27-footer, but it felt even deeper. So it felt like a tougher shot than his first game winner. This guy he's doing it. It's an interesting time for him. We talk about him a lot because it is slop season, it's trade season, and he is in those trade rumors, but hopefully the Hawks, they may be fooling me, but the last few years they obviously have picked it up after a slow start. Maybe that's happening. Who knows?
All right, let's go from the Murrays to another round here of winners. Who else you got?
Yeah, Nikola Jokic. He had an incredible game versus the Celtics, but it was a very tough week for him because he is so connected to the Warriors assistant coach who passed away, Deki, who passed away, was a huge mentor to Nikola Jokic. So he basically stopped talking to the media for a while. He was in it tough. He just didn't want to talk to him to anybody, you know, like the Warriors, who obviously took off a couple games because of what happened to Deki. Deki was a mentor. He was a coach to Jokic, and Jokic finally broke out and had a great game against Boston, and it looked like he was playing for Deki. He had 34, 12, and 9 assists, 14 of 22. What a game. And after the game, Nuggets head coach Michael Malone said, Jokic was out there to play for Deki. He was playing for his legacy because he was playing perfectly. And he finally was able to talk to the media this weekend a little bit, but he just loved Deki. And I'm sure, you know, the coach that he had when he was in Europe before he came here was such a big effect for him. Jokic himself has an effect on everybody in that game. It felt finals-ish, I should say, a little bit, you know, because Porzingis after the game talked about Jokic and he said he's the best player in the world and he's just so crafty, just kind of almost makes you fall asleep, like he's not doing anything and then he just slides by you. That's funny and it's true. You know, he's just kind of standing there. He's not running fast. He's not running by you, but he's just so crafty. He can do everything. And the Nuggets were trying to beat the Boston Celtics. Michael Malone, who I just mentioned there, he only went 7.5 players deep.
Yeah,
he's trying to win this game. He knows this could be a finals, so he was just trying to figure out what it takes to beat the Boston Celtics. So they had Reggie Jackson and obviously Peyton Watson come off the bench. But then Christian Brown played 5 minutes. I mean, you really literally went 7.5 deep in a January game. It's a little surprising, but the Nuggets, they are a championship team, and it is difficult to repeat. So we do see some bad games. We see some sluggish games from the Denver Nuggets, and obviously they got ready for this one. And Porzingis said after the game, you know, I love it even though we lost because it was a great game for us because there are many things I think that we're going to look at and we can study those things because this is a real team. This is, you know, last year's champs and that's what we want to be. I think from our side, their side, fans, everybody just kind of knew it was a big matchup. There's definitely things to take away from this one in this game. And a great game for Jokic just to Yeah, to have a mentally a great game and his family with him when they went and played Washington, and he scored 42 in his second game of this weekend. Yeah. So taking care of Boston, taking care of Jokic, and then a very cute moment with his daughter post after the Washington.
I mean, but you're right. These guys that knew Decky, like playing with a heavy heart for sure. I mean, the Warriors, they haven't even played since this unfortunate incident, right? It's been a decent amount of time here. They don't play tonight either. Not because it's postponed, it's not on the schedule, but, you know, look, I'm just as guilty of it. Like, you do forget, like, these are just humans. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, we're asking them, hey, just go out there, man. Just go play basketball. Right. And some of them can handle it and some of them can't. And that's, you know, everybody handles it differently. I'm sure sometimes it's got to be almost refreshing to, like, when you're out there in a game, like, you're not maybe thinking about it as much. Mm-hmm. And so you can sort of leave it to the side for a bit. Or maybe not. Again, everybody handles it differently. But what a monster weekend. And, yeah. I mean, it sounds funny, but it's almost like the big win against the Celtics, huge. And they went for it. And they probably look like they still need a guy on that bench to maybe repeat. They do seem a guy short to me.
A little bit.
This season. But to then turn around, and you got the old, like, trap game versus the Wizards, like, following the Celtics mm-hmm. game, and they still get it done, led by Jokic, who was the monster, like you said, mm-hmm. 42. But, like, those are ones that a lot of teams lose. And it's like, oh, we had the huge game, now we're like, okay, now we'll coast for a couple quarters here, and then we'll try and turn it on. Sometimes that bites you in the ass, but they took care of business in the end.
Lucky it was the Wizards.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to OG Anunoby and the Knicks fans as winner of the weekends. Let's start with the Knicks fans who really showed some love, went out of their way, I think is fair to say, to celebrate the returns of Immanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett, who each played at Madison Square Garden on Saturday night for the first time following the big trade with the Raps. They got standing ovations during introductions and then got standing ovations during the tribute video, which was shown during the first media timeout. That was pretty cool. This is Quickley and Barrett. Guys that have been there, don't get me wrong, had some say in some success for the Knicks over recent years, but like these aren't legendary players, right? Like their jerseys are not going up in the rafters.
Yeah.
And for them to still get that response, I thought was a pretty cool showing there from Knicks fans who, like, a lot of people are like, oh, they won't. It's like, you know, you see the odd Knicks fans on Twitter like, they're the enemy. Don't cheer them anymore. And people are like, are you kidding me? No, you show love to these guys that helped sort of build us up here and, if anything, helped us get OG Anunoby in here. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was cool that the love that the Knicks fans showed to them.
Yeah, and the comments from both those players after the game basically were like, I love this place.
RJ Barrett said he wasn't even sure if they were going to get a tribute video.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't know. Will we get one? And then, of course, they did. So, yeah.
But all the players in all these trades between the Raptors and Knicks and the Raptors and Pacers, you know, Siakam talking about it and Barrett, just showing love to their previous team, they basically were like, you know, I don't know. I didn't even know if I was ever going to leave. I love Madison Square Garden. I love being with the New York Knicks. It's such a special place for me. So, yeah, everybody's really nice these days. So it was loving. It was.
But OG is the real winner of the weekend, and the Knicks, of course, the perfect fit. Like, honestly, they're 9-2 since the deal. The Knicks have a 103.5 defensive rating since they got OG in the starting lineup. That's the best mark in the league over that stretch. They've held opponents to just 98.7 points per 100 possessions when Anunoby is on the floor. And he's on the floor a lot because he plays for Tibbs and he plays defense.
Yep.
And he loves that. So you're going to be out there. He's playing, you know, nearly 37 minutes per night here. The Knicks have outscored their opponents by 190 points in OG's 404 minutes. I thought that was maybe a typo at first. I was like, that can't be right. But we have fact checked that. And that is incredible. Tibbs has said Anunoby is a defense unto himself. And one thing in watching them hammer the Raptors as that game went on and how they've played with OG, when the trade went down, you kept bringing up a couple times, you were like, I wonder how OG will feel about his role with the Knicks. Because, you know, that was sort of the one thing that kept coming up when he was with the Raptors. He was sort of buried in the pecking order of offensive responsibility. And you wondered, well, that might be the same in New York. Eric Kareen, great point in an article over the weekend. He does not have a bigger role that he occasionally pushed for in Toronto. His usage rate, OG's, in New York is lower than it has been since his third year in the league. But as Eric wrote, it's easier to accept a role like that when you're on a team that is winning and a nice payday is coming your way. Mm. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. So yeah, usage rate, how he's being used offensively, it's very similar.
Hang in the corners,
stand,
my man.
Exactly. Stand in the corner, fire away, and that's it, man. You're out here for defense. But I think you're right. That, like, look, he's in New York. He's getting more attention. There's that. He's going to get a huge payday. And they're winning a bunch of games,
mm-hmm.
which is, I mean, that fixes everything.
Yeah, he's all grown up, it sure seems like. He's not talking about having the ball in his hands more, needing it in his hands more. He's just going to get paid per minute, hopefully for him, because he's playing so many freaking minutes. This is his job now, and I guess he's grown as a man. He's just grown as a person, not having to talk it as much. But this is basically his career high in minutes so far with the Knicks, would be his career high. He's had three games of playing over 42 minutes, and he's already leading the Knicks in minutes play per game. That's astonishing to me. The fact that the guy just got there and he's already leading the game. And the fact that they're outscoring other teams to that effect with Jalen Brunson missing a couple games, who is their guy offensively. That's clear. Him and Randall are the guys. But this is cool for OG to step in. That was a terrible game against the Raptors from the Raptors side.
Yeah. That started okay, and then it got out of control.
And it's a feel, right? The Knicks feel good about Randall and Brunson being their lead offensive guys. They won a playoff round last year, and they're building around that. With Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett, they're also trying to do that. Quickley and Barrett, along with Barnes, you are our lead offensive guys. I'm speaking specifically about Quickley because Quickley is more so the future that they're looking at than RJ Barrett. He had 11 assists in this game, but he didn't score like he could, and that just stopped. He just wasn't shooting a lot. So this is going to be a bad year for the Raps.
Yep.
So all that to say, they're testing things out. We'll get to if they want to trade some guys around those top guys in a mere few minutes, but they could, and there's a reason for that. But yeah, they got destroyed. They're too tiny. They're out-rebounded by 30 in this game.
Missing Pirtle for sure.
They need a center, that's for sure. But anyways, it was fun. It was fun to watch, and it was fun to see the tributes and everybody enjoy those tributes.
All right, there's only two of us. Let's do one more round of winners. Who else you got?
I'm going with the Indiana Pacers. What? They lost both their games this weekend. What? Why should they be winners? Well, Tyrese Halliburton came back in that first game.
True.
Everybody was expecting his hamstring to hold him back even longer than this, but he did come back, and that was his first game with Pascal Siakam, because that was Siakam's first game with the Pacers. And, oh boy, that offensive lineup with him, the two of them, I should say, Halle, Siakam, Buddy Hield, Aaron Nesmith, and Miles Turner. That starting five was phenomenal in that game. And Siakam and Halliburton specifically were awesome. They played 26 minutes together. They were plus 27. They're phenomenal in that game. And Siakam looked good. And they're just playing so well together. And that new starting five that I just mentioned was plus 22 in the minutes that they played. They had a ridiculously offensive game, phenomenal stuff. It was their bench that was terrible, and that's why they lost to the Blazers on the road as they continued this six-game road trip. It is interesting. We're talking about players who could be traded. When I say the backcourt is now Halle and Buddy Hield, and then Nesmith, Siakam, and Turner, I wonder if Hield should go to the bench just for Andrew Nembhard to be in there a little bit, to have a little bit of defense in that backcourt. That ain't happening right now. But anyways, they lose that game, but their starters look great. And this is obviously they're trying to figure things out. And then in the next game, Halliburton does sit out because they don't want to play him every game against the Suns. But it went down to the wire, and Siakam making a big block attempt on Bradley late, and it looked like they were good. Their bench actually played good in this one. It was a flip of the script. Obi Toppin now on the bench. And Jairus Walker, the guy that they picked number 8 in this recent draft, the last draft, and for some reason hasn't been playing a lot as a big forward. He's starting to play more, so these Pacers are trying to figure things out and feeling it out. He was 10-9, and he's shooting 40% from three on the season. The guy can shoot it as a big. So it was a tough end to the six-game road trip. Sure, that's fine. They went 2-4. They almost went 3-3, which would have been reasonable for any team in the NBA. But it's a great sign. I mentioned all these guys' names. Obi Toppin coming off the bench. Andrew Nembhard could be a starter. Jairus Walker. They're not paying anybody. I mean, they have a very, very low payroll overall. and they've got great decisions to make. So, yes, all in all, 0-2, not so good. But the fact that they were plus 22 in those minutes with their starting five and a great offensive rating, 148.8, with those five guys, they know that they can beat anybody. And Siakam is just a great fit already. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just started him on the road, and he was a great fit.
Yeah, if we were doing losers of the weekend, Benedict Mathurin may have gotten an honorable mention. He was 1-16, I believe, in those two games over the weekend in the two losses. But I see what you're saying with how Siakam looked, especially with Halliburton in that first game. No Tyrese in the second one. Yes, two losses, tough road trip, but you can see why they made a move like that. The idea of giving him a big contract, Siakam, in the offseason, and then moving forward with those two as your stars and then all these young talent around them right now. And whether or not they move off of a Buddy Hield at the trade deadline, maybe one of their young prospects, probably unlikely. They didn't have to include one in the Siakam deal, so I don't see why they would want to do it for someone else.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of talent, you're right.
They do. They know the four guys that they're starting right now: Halliburton, Siakam, Turner, Aaron Nesmith, because he's so good defensively. Yeah. So they're still trying to figure out the fifth spot. I think it's going to change. But they have depth, and so they might clear out some guys as well. But it's a good problem. They were 0-2, but the fact of where they are right now is a surprise. They've overachieved this season, and their second half schedule is far easier than their first half. It's going to be way, way lighter. But Halliburton was fine in Siakam, and now Siakam, even though you look at him and you say, is he an All NBA player? What was this guy as a Toronto Raptor? He's clearly now a second guy easily with Halliburton. So he's in a more appropriate role. Yeah. There's no doubt.
You saw it from game to game even. He played better in the one with Halliburton than he did in the one without him against the Suns.
Yeah.
Some other honorable mentions for winners of the weekend. The Suns, they picked up two wins. Booker went for 52 on Friday night against the Pelicans. KD was a monster on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Beal played really well. So they're getting it going here. You know, don't get too excited because someone inevitably gets hurt. But the Suns starting to look like the team we thought they might be with the three guys as their offensive juggernaut there. Clippers ended their game on Sunday afternoon with a 22-0 run to beat the Nets. Came back out of nowhere. So they get a little honorable mention. And Franz Wagner returned to the Magic this weekend, too. He had missed like eight games, which had surprised me. But he had 19 points, 5 assists in that win over Miami in the game over the weekend. So Franz coming back, that's good. But I want to give it to Wemby versus Washi. Wembanyama versus Washington, winner of the weekend, the rookie sensation. He helped the Spurs overcome a 12-point deficit in the final 5 minutes to get the win in regulation, 131-127. He had three buckets during that 12-0 run, Wemby did. He scored easily over Avdija in the post. Little left-hand hook. Love to see it. Physicality, you know, he's obviously slight as a 7'4", 7'5", whatever he is guy, but he worked hard for it to get the position there on Avdija. They hit him in the middle, and then he's like, it's so easy. It's like you like scoring over like your small nephew or something. It's like the height difference is hilarious. Then he hit a very tough driving floater to cut the lead to 5. That registered a Wizards timeout because suddenly the Spurs were back in this game. And then later, Wembanyama splashed a tying three-pointer with about 2 minutes and change to go. Nice little pick-and-pop action on the side. They left him. He knocked it home. You know, he struggled with his three-point shot this year, but hit that one. 18 points in the second half, finished with 24, 8, 6 blocks and 4 assists. That was the other thing. In the fourth quarter, the Wizards were like 0-for-6 on layups and dunks when Wembanyama was around them, terrified that he was going to block them. So good stuff there from him. I think they got a much needed win. They don't have a lot of wins this year. I know it's against the Wizards, but they picked it up. And he was the big reason why down the stretch.
He doesn't like his minutes restriction. What I loved about him this weekend, he did a little interview and he said, I hope it's done. I'm kind of tired of how he's restricted by his minutes and has to sit games occasionally because Greg Popovich is told, you have to sit that guy. The doctors say so.
Because he kept, like, buggering his ankle up there.
He did, yeah.
A couple times. He did. But that's the reason. You're right.
Yeah, and even before that, they're just kind of worried. They're conscious of it, and I get that. But he's so done with it. He said, quote, shouldn't be an issue no more. And so hopefully it's not. He's got Embiid tonight. He's got business to take care of tonight in a national game. So, you know, he is rested for this one. Didn't have to play on Sunday. So I imagine he will be playing against Joel Embiid, which should be great.
That's two different body shapes right there.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
Both big guys, tall guys, but one has a lot of weight on the other. So that'd be fun to watch. All right, so there are some winners. I'm sure we left a whole lot out there. You tell us in the stream team. Tweet at us at NoDunksInc. Let us know in the YouTube comments. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, oh, the piggies are out. Slop scale time. Don't go anywhere.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. JD, I need you to open up the barn doors. It's time to slop it up. Yeehaw! Let's feed the piggies. The slop scale back in our lives. We are once again going to weigh in on the latest NBA trade rumors using the slop scale, which is buckets. The heavier and juicier and sloppier the NBA trade rumor, the more buckets of slop Tass Mellis might assign to it. You can go from one bucket of slop to five buckets of slop. That's maximum slop. All right. I pulled a couple rumors from the interwebs this weekend. First one caught me by surprise. Mm-hmm. The Action Network's Matt Moore. He slopped it up hard this weekend, actually. He was writing what league sources or known reporting has suggested as far as teams' intentions at the trade deadline. He did like almost every team. He had slop on every team. But the one that caught everybody's eye, Matt Moore saying that the Pelicans are thought to be open to moving Herb Jones. Quote, Matt Moore here, they're high on Jones, but it'll be difficult for the team to pay their stars, Jones and Trey Murphy III. End quote. So, Tass, how many buckets of slop are you giving to this? Herb Jones possibly moving at the trade deadline?
I'll give it five buckets because we just want the hits. Just like Matt Moore doing a report on every single... No, it's one. It's one bucket. But I understand what Matt Moore is doing.
What?
He's talking trades. That's what people need to do to get the hits.
So he's talking shit.
Well, in this one, pigs eat shit, I guess. Because I hope you're not watching the video, the intro of our pig slop, because that's gross stuff. Anyway, in this instance, the Herb Jones thing, they signed him to a 5-year deal before this season. So why the heck would they want to trade him? I get that him and Trey Murphy may have some, you know, they're kind of similar players, but Trey Murphy's a fantastic three-point shooter. Anyway, I just think that the Pelicans in general have gone it for it in years past. Like, they've really, really got it. They put a lot into it trading for C.J. McCollum. They put a max for Zion Williamson when they're not sure exactly how great he's going to be. I just don't get why you would trade Herbert Jones. They just don't know if it's all coming together for sure. So you got a guy that you signed for 5 years at basically 12 to 14 per year.
I was going to say, he's a discount deal.
It's extremely cheap. So I think they're going to keep the cheap deals that they have. And this is one of them. I get that Trey Murphy and him, yeah, maybe they overlap. Maybe why pay one a lot more money and not keep the other? But it doesn't really make sense. At this point, you have to make some smart moves. And keeping him here makes sense.
Yes, this is absolutely one bucket. That's the minimum we can go. It should be zero if we're being honest. I like Matt Morey. He's got a lot of hot takes. I'm not sure about this one, though. You said it. Herb makes $13 million a year for three more years after this year. Like, that is nothing in this league.
It's 4 years, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I'm counting this one. Is it? I thought it was
an additional four.
Oh, I think he signed. Okay.
He signed a five-year deal. Oh, no, you're right. It's three. My bad.
Okay.
My bad.
So three more years after this one.
Yeah.
At that deal, like you said, whatever, ballpark $13 million, which is, again, nothing in this league. The Pels are under the luxury tax because of that little slick bookkeeping they did with Lewis and the whole Pacers-Raptors trade.
Yeah.
They're only real meaningful free agent, I believe, this offseason will be Jonas Valanciunas. So decisions to be made there. But I don't get why. Look, I get why other teams might be going, ooh, you've got Trey Murphy III. Ooh, you've got Hawkins. You've got Herb Jones. You don't need all them. Pelicans? Could we get one of those guys that we really like? But that doesn't mean the Pelicans should be actively shopping him unless they are going big game hunting, which then maybe a guy like him's involved in a deal. But yeah, one bucket of slop, tops.
They've already done enough big game hunting, in my opinion. They're over $100 million next year in just three guys, in McCollum, Ingram, and Zion. And you don't know if you're going to be an incredible team. Although, on paper, everything looks good, and then you have great support for those three stars with Alvarado and everybody. However, you just don't know. And so it would make sense for a team that doesn't want to pay the luxury tax. David Griffin has gone for it over and over, but they made a great signing here, and I get it. I get it, but no.
Just to add to this, too, it's one thing if the Pelicans are 18-25 right now and really struggling and it's not working. They're the flip of that. They're 25-18. This is the best they've played over the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
I know they had a bit of a soft schedule there, but they are like fifth in the Western Conference right now. This isn't like what's going on with the Hawks in the East, is my point, where it's like, okay, we should be way better than this. And then you start to panic and go, okay, now we got to move this, get this guy in. Like, it's not that bad. So this like is even more befuddling to me. That Herb Jones' name would be up in any sort of trade rumor.
I get it. I think it actually makes a little more sense that they're a winning team and they just want to go for it, according to these rumors. But it doesn't really make sense to me overall. No.
Yeah. Okay, one bucket there. We agree on that one. All right, next one. This one's from Mark Stein. Mark Stein reported recently that the Blazers are considered likely to trade Malcolm Brogdon in the coming weeks. If they do, the Knicks are expected to be interested. New York is looking to replace some of the bench production they lost when quickly went out there to the Raps. Brogdon has two seasons left on his contract, both fully guaranteed, $22.5 million. New York has also reportedly registered interest in Utah's Jordan Clarkson. So, yes, the question here, Tass, is how many buckets does the Knicks' interest in Brogdon / Clarkson, let's call it, get from you?
What shall I register with these buckets?
Yeah,
I'm going with a light two. Out of five buckets here, because this is a Tibbs team that plays guys heavy. And specifically about the guys here, Malcolm Brogdon or Jordan Clarkson. Malcolm Brogdon, I don't think makes a heck of a lot of sense. I love the guy, obviously. He's phenomenal. But Boston got off of him this past season because he's constantly injured, unfortunately. And so would you want the Knicks to go say, hey, come on over. You're getting paid $22 million next year. So you're taking out a good chunk of change from this team, specifically with Brogdon. And you already have guards. When we just talked about Jalen Brunson, that guy has to play a lot. And I understand you may want another ball handler like Brogdon beside him, but you do have some in DiVincenzo and Josh Hart and McBride and OG now. So, you know, guys, wings. I don't really see that when you're already going to be paying OG to a new contract. So OG, Randall, and Brunson are going to be over 90. But a cheaper Clarkson makes a little more sense to me. A cheaper Clarkson who doesn't get hurt. And so Clarkson at 14 per, I'm a little bit more inclined. Maybe. But they do have a bunch of guards, and I could see them taking a chance on Clarkson. It does sort of make sense there to add him, depending on what they have to give up for him.
Yeah, that's the hang-up for me. yes, I actually think someone like Clarkson on the Knicks is what they would love to have. Like, sort of bit of a the Gunner mentality. Honestly, sort of what Quickly was for them, right? Like, come in, score. I mean, that's what Clarkson does. The problem is, Brogdon, he's going to be moved at the deadline. Clarkson, I don't know what the Jazz are going to do with him. I mean, I guess if they were obviously offered a deal they couldn't say no to, they would. But, you know, they are playing well. They've turned their season around. So it's just much more difficult to figure out what sort of what would be going in exchange to get Ashley Clarkson. The fit, I could see Clarkson being a bit of a fan favorite immediately there in New York, coming off the bench and getting buckets. But I just think it's going to be more difficult to get. I'm not sure if Utah's ready to move on from him.
Yeah, and as far as the Knicks go, you know, I mentioned the guys I mentioned there. And obviously Brunson is their guy. And then to have, like you said, a guy come off the bench and help, like Quentin Grimes hasn't been that guy. Josh Hart was a different type of player than Jordan Clarkson. I get it. They did just sign Deuce McBride. They do feel like he is good enough. They have DiVincenzo. And so they got a lot of guards. I'm not sure about Jordan Clarkson coming in, who's going to want to shoot all the time. So I get it. 14 mil, it's a good number for Clarkson.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a great player. But I'm not sure he quite fits. But he makes a little more sense than Brunson.
Brogdon.
Because Evan Fournier comes off the books this offseason. They're done there. Yeah. So they have money to go around. But I don't see the Malcolm Brogdon thing working.
Okay. Let's talk a little Raptors. Give me some Raptors news. Okay. Also from Stein. The Raptors are seeking a first-round pick and a young player for Bruce Brown. Brown, of course, just acquired by the Raptors in the Pacers deal with Siakam. Two teams known to have interest in Brown include the Lakers and Knicks. Brown has a $23 million team option for next season. So Stein says Raps seeking first-round pick and young player for Bruce Brown. How many buckets of slop is Tass Mellis chucking on this?
I got to go hot. I do feel like there's a good chance that the Raps give up on Bruce Brown. So 4 out of 5 for me here. I'm going to miss Bruce, but he is perfect for a really good team. He's a complimentary player. He's not necessarily an all-star, but he will do anything and everything for a team to take the next step. See the Denver Nuggets. It wasn't that long ago. They just played the Knicks, as we said, and he called himself a Tibbs player.
Said I'm a dog.
Yeah, he thought he may be drafted by the Minnesota Timberwolves, where Tibbs was the coach way back when. And
he said he considered signing with the Knicks before signing with the Pacers.
Yeah. So, I don't know if he's just selling himself here.
I know.
But it is an interesting thing because the Pacers kind of ballooned his contract that he signed this preseason, because you have to have a number at the salary floor now. You have to pay a certain amount or else you're just going to pay it anyways. So they kind of ballooned his contract in that he's making 23 per year. Oh, 23 next year.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. For a complimentary player, he's a very good player, obviously, and he just spent $10,000 of that paying to Jontay Porter, who is on the Raptors because he was wearing Bruce Brown's number 11. He's got tons of money, so he said, "Here's $10K." Jontay Porter thought it was going to be a lot more. Or no, Bruce Brown thought he was going to have to pay a lot more. Whatever it was, I don't know. But I just don't think it makes sense for the Raps. Being that where they are, they have to try things out. They want to pay somebody a lot next season. And I get that. Saving $23 million on Bruce Brown makes sense. I don't know what you get for Bruce Brown, but
I was going to say, are you getting a first round pick and a young player?
Nah, I don't think so.
Right.
That's a lot. That's a lot to ask for. Maybe one of those would be nice.
I was going to say, that's what it sure feels like. It's like, we want both of these. And then teams come back, we'll give you one of those. And it's like, okay, we'll take the late first round pick. Or we will take this young prospect that maybe you've given up on.
Yep.
But you're not maybe going to get both. Feels like that.
Yeah, he was just part of a trade for Siakam that was... He is the best player in the trade going back for Siakam. But all that to say... Draft picks were abundant in that one. Maybe one.
Be really weird if the Raptors and Knicks made another trade, though.
It would be weird.
Just be like, Masai helping out New York here. Hey, sorry about that whole you suing us thing. Here's continuing to give you good players.
And they have a Josh Hart. It's like, that's Bruce Brown.
Right.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
You know, they have options. And paying Bruce Brown that much money is, that's a good chunk of change, depending on the team. And they've got to pay CAAs. OG Anunoby this offseason, you know, money's going to come off.
But it is like, because of the structure of his contract, it's like, maybe forget the Knicks, like any of these other teams, and I'm with you, it should be a good team. Like he needs to go to a good team to be the fifth, sixth, seventh best player on that team, right? But you almost could take a stab at it. You're like, wow, maybe Bruce Brown, we think, is the difference maker in helping our defense and winning a playoff series more, or whatever, to go far. And if it blows up and it doesn't work, it's like you don't have to pick up the option. You wouldn't want to give up a lot, don't get me wrong. Like, but if you really think he's a bit of a difference maker to your chances to win a title, let's say, then you could see yourself being aggressive and going, and if it blows up in your face, it's like, okay, well, we move off it. It's a team option. It's $23 million. Or not. Obviously, you just pick it up and you continue to play him. So.
That's true.
I think he is going to be moved. I'm with you. I think, I mean, Masai Ujiri basically said that. And it was like, it feels like you're not trading for Barnes, of course. You're not trading for Quickley or Barrett. Maybe Pirtle's off the table, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else can be had, I think, on the Toronto Raptors, given the right deal. And we'll move to our final one here in the slop scale, because it's also Toronto-based. It's from our guy Blake Murphy, doing some reporting up there in Canada. Love to see it. He said, he shared on the Raptors show with Will Liu, quote, the Raptors are very likely to trade Chris Boucher before the deadline. So the slim Canadian center, he's been in and out of Darko's rotation. He's not playing a lot. He averages just 6-4 in 14 minutes per game. He used to play like 20 minutes a game, like over the last couple of years with Nurse. But anyway, how many buckets a slot for Boucher on the move at the deadline?
I'm hot on this one. I think it's 5. I think they do move on. He's been there forever. It's kind of surprising that he was an NBA champion with this team. He was the last guy standing now from that NBA championship, although he didn't play a lot.
In the finals, right?
Yeah. No, that was Pascal. He was the last guy to go.
Yeah.
But it is surprising. We know. Just like the front office said, okay, we've had enough with OG. We've had enough with Pascal. Like this isn't going well enough. We've got to make a move. It's the same thing with Chris Boucher, who Nick Nurse tried to play 20 minutes per game. Sure, yeah. And it unfortunately hasn't. He's good and bad. But it's time to part ways. It's just surprising that he's been with the Raptors for 6 seasons. And he only played one game with the Golden State Warriors before that. And that's his entire NBA career. But it would make sense for the Raptors, no matter what they get back, because they get more space in free agency because he is signed through next season for a $10 million. But he is front-loaded, that the contract that they signed and going down to $10 million, I guess makes sense for some teams to say, hey, we got to back up big. Why not?
Yeah, I actually like Boucher. I think you're right. He has bad games, and then he has really good games where he's 7-for-7 and hitting threes, and he's flying all over the place, and he's a difference maker. But definitely has fallen out of Darko's rotation, like I said. There's not a lot of trust there. This is definitely 5 buckets of slop. This was the worst-kept secret in the NBA. And if you remember, I was here on No Dunk saying, Chris Boucher can be had. Not that I'm reporting anything at any time, but you know, it was like, the guy's out of the rotation. A team can go and get him. And I don't think it's going to take a lot. Like, it's going to take, like you were saying there, Tass. They want to get out from under Boucher's salary next season, which is like, 10 to 11 million. Let's call it that. So what's coming back? Some expiring money, I assume, and maybe a second round pick. Like, it's not going to be sexy, whatever comes back for Boucher. But a team would be very smart, I believe, to go and get him. I know he's been linked to the Celtics at times. Maybe it's always tough to trade with a division rival if you're the Raps and stuff like that. You're helping them out, their chances to go win a title. But I feel like he would be a good addition to a lot of squads, just as a guy coming off the bench. Because he has his moments where he's like, again, a difference maker. So he's going to be traded. Because it's not going to take a lot.
Not a lot at all. I think the Raptors would think about releasing him, in all honesty. I know that sounds a little crazy. If they can't get anything for him. We saw what the Pacers did with Daniel Theis this season. They released him. And then became a Los Angeles Clipper, and he was key for them. He has been key for them because he's a good player, but he's a lot cheaper than $10 million when you release him and you sign him. And they just the Raptors just don't want to pay him next season. I think that's what it comes down to with Chris Boucher. So
I would also I would usually have thrown in the Thunder here because lots of talk about the Thunder needing more help at the center position, but they don't like guys that can't shoot, and Boucher cannot hit the three. Consistently. That's right. I said it there. These games where he can't miss, but it's few and far between. So I just don't think they would go aggressively for a guy like him. They got a million picks. They could throw a couple second round picks or one second round pick. They could get it done, but I don't think they sort of. It's not the type of mold they want usually from their guys.
Right.
But some team out there will get a Boucher, and he'll be good. He'll surprise people because you know. Unless you're watching Raptors games, you probably have no idea who we're even talking about. Slim Duck himself. All right.
Slim Duck.
Slop scale. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. You know we're going to see more from the slop scale here over the coming
Absolutely.
Weeks.
Absolutely. It's NBA playoffs time, and that means NBA snack time. I can't stop eating while I'm watching. So many options in my house that I got to cut out a bit. I got to switch it up, but I know I'm not giving up. Sunflower seeds, sure. But maybe something that's not a food for that oral fixation, perhaps? Good thought. Here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Its taste is surprising. All natural stuff. It's fun to fidget with, and it's a good weight. The wood feels good, and it feels cool to use. Start the good habit by going to tryfume.com/dunks and getting the Journey Pack today. Fume is giving listeners to the show 10% off when they use our code DUNKS to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's wrap this up with some Tweet of the Night fun.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Yeah, two tweets. They're related. And I really just wanted to get your take on them, Tass, and everybody joining us live and listening later. First tweet was from... Damon, I believe, Rangula. Joel Embiid's season, 35 points, 11.4 boards, 5.9 assists, 1.2 steals, 1.9 blocks on 54, 36, 89 shooting splits in 34 minutes a game. The season he's having is being underappreciated. Okay. Then I saw a tweet from our guy Jared Wade, retweeting it with this. If you win an MVP, then get punked in the playoffs, nobody is going to care what you do in the following regular season. May not seem fair, but it's just how it is. Happened to Dirk, Giannis, Harden, and even sorta Jokic. It's very tough to beat the allegations. So there's two parts, two questions. Is Embiid being underappreciated the season he's having? And then your thoughts on Jared and whether you believe that's sort of just an unwritten rule in the NBA. You win an MVP and you flame out in the playoffs, no one's really going to care all that much the next regular season until you actually do it in a postseason run. What do you think?
That absolutely should be a part of everybody's reputation. Yeah, you're an MVP. What have you done in the playoffs? Right. It's really what it comes down to. And that's fine. The last 2 years, Embiid has dropped 10 points per game, essentially, in the postseason from his regular season, where he led the league in points. Yeah. Into what he did in the postseason, because he just hasn't been extremely healthy. He's been really, really healthy in the postseason, but it catches up just every year for him. That's just the way it goes. Mm-hmm. He was going through last year because he wanted to win his first MVP, constantly saying, I want to be healthy for all 82 games. I want to be healthy for all 82 games to show that he can be that. So he played a lot. And then in the postseason, when it came down to fourth quarters at times, he was still playing in most games. Things weren't the same. Just weren't incredible.
He didn't play at an MVP level for a lot of moments and games in the postseason.
Yeah,
and it's happened.
It's happened a lot in his career. He's gone to six playoffs. He's missed games in five of them. And that just sucks for him. And so this year, it's a good thing. Because it's a good thing that he just won that MVP, because now he can just chill out and say, all right, I can take some games off to be as fresh as possible. But he, the James Harden comparison is decent. He just played with James Harden. And that happens to Harden a lot. And unfortunately, Embiid he's a different kind of player. He can take over in postseasons. But for him last year to go from 33 points last year to 23 points, and you see the percentages drop down, and the year before that he dropped. It just doesn't make sense.
You can still be absolutely awed by what he's doing in the regular season. I mean, these are incredible numbers I just listed there from that tweet, and doing it in sort of limited minutes and just looks like money from around the free throw line with the jumper. Obviously, he's tough to officiate. I know some people hate how he plays the game and he's always falling over for a guy his size, all that, but whatever. Incredible stats, doing things that, only Kareem had done, right, with the 30-10 streak or whatever the heck it was. But at the same time, Jared's absolutely right. It's like we've gone through this before with other guys who've had monster MVP seasons and then, get clipped in a first round series or falter, like Harden comes to mind, has moments but has really bad games, just doesn't carry his team, unfortunately, really deep. And so then when you do it again in the regular season, everyone's like, okay, cool. All right, you went for 50 and 60 in back-to-back games. Okay, great. Let's see it come, April, May, and June. Because it's like at a certain point, it's like we don't really care.
Yeah.
That's just the truth. I believe this. Tough to beat the allegations, as Jared said. You got to do it. You have to have your Dirk-like run that he did when he finally got over the hump. Or Giannis, obviously, carrying his team there. I mean, Harden hasn't done it yet. And Embiid needs to do it. Embiid, just like Dirk and Giannis, needs that at least go into a finals type thing, if not winning the whole thing, where he's the best player for those playoff months. Because he hasn't been. He hasn't even been close to it, at least when you compare him to what he does in the regular season.
Yeah, I think he just needs to at least go to the finals. That's what it comes down to, I think. Because you brought up the Dirk one where he won MVP after going to the finals against the Miami Heat that first time.
Yeah.
But it's because they got bounced by the Golden State Warriors in the first round.
Yeah.
But obviously the small ball Warriors were awesome with Baron Davis and friends. That's what happened. You lost the first round. You just have to be really, 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 really good. You have to be valuable. And so you have to just get deep. And he hasn't reached the conference finals yet, which is absurd. Right. But it is his body, and we'll see what Tyrese Maxey can do as a number one guard for the first time in his career in a postseason. You got to believe in that, but they have to win two rounds.
And we'll see if they make a move, too, when it comes to the deadline. All right, well, that's the tweet of the night. Good stuff there from the guys. A little fun conversation starter. I want to remind you that there's a new Is This Good podcast dropped this morning, and it featured one Trey Kirby before he took off to Chicago. Matty O and JD talking with TK about, a lot of things. Guys were spinning a wheel and talking about the latest fashion trends and gift baskets and brunch and carpets and thinking about all your friends sleeping naked, including myself. You sleep nude, Tess?
Including yourself. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it comes up on the podcast, but
yeah.
I had seen the wheel that they were going to be spinning as I was leaving the Classic Factory, and one of the options was sleeping naked. Is this good? I told Trey, absolutely, it's good. I've slept naked for 20 years running.
You couldn't wait to let us know you sleep naked.
My God, I'm amazed people sleeping close. Amazed by it. Anyway, it came up on the podcast. The problem now, Trey says, is now every time he does sleep nude, he has to think about me sleeping nude.
Yeah.
And he also said his dad sleeps nude. To bring it full circle here, Steve Kirby also sleeps nude.
Does he sleep nude now that he's retired, though? He's added the hat. Maybe he's added some jammies.
He sleeps in a hat.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Not sure. A
little penis hat.
Anyway, are you pro... sleeping nude, or are you a boxer man, or are you flannels, are you top?
My body part likes clothing.
Yeah,
I will say, during sleep, my body parts like clothing.
Interesting. But you don't wear, like a lot of people. I get the counter. People say, I wear clothes at night because an intruder, or I guess maybe if you have kids coming in your room, like it's easy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there is that part. Like if someone comes in my room with a baseball bat, give me all your money. I'm like, hold on. hold on. Can you turn the light on so I can find my pants real quick, and then we can discuss this. So there's that issue. So I thought maybe that was your
issue. I want to listen to that part.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
So I listened to the pod on the way in. And go check out The Great Beyond, the podcast before on Is This Good? JD, I listened to it on the treadmill the other day. I was in tears. I literally had to stop. I had to jump off the treadmill. I was buckled over.
Oh, great.
Because at one point, JD yells, "We ride at dawn, but first, circle jerk." That's right. And I'll leave it like that, and you can go get the context from the actual podcast. I was in tears. Absolute tears. The Romans, big circle jerk guys.
Yeah, apparently.
According to JD's wife,
yeah.
Or at least her dreams. Yeah. All right, so go check out Is This Good with TK and The Great Beyond before that. We're back tomorrow, Tass and I, here in the Classic Factory, 10 a.m. Eastern. Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. And we will see you tomorrow morning. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, after hearing that Romans scoop, I will say this. Got no evidence. Got no proof. But the Greeks were not big circle jerk guys. I got no proof. I just want to rebuttal.
Get ahead of that. Embrace the day, people.